Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show. Happy Friday here on August 21st. From the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by our good friends over there at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com today and use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout for $10 off your first order. With that said, today I'm joined alongside by Zach Seegers at Zach_Seegers and Patrick Keoty at Patrick Keoty on Twitter. We're breaking down some of the biggest storylines from yesterday's practice at the UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado for the Broncos. And it was a rough day overall, if you look at it from the standpoint that the injury bug has now finally caught up to the Broncos. One expected starter is going to be missing a little bit of time here. It could lead up to the final countdown before the kickoff against Tennessee. And obviously, Broncos running backs sustained a little bit of an injury. Broncos star player sustained a little bit of an injury and was mentioned there as well. And one of the Broncos' young draft picks is going to be out for an extended period of time as well. Who is that? What is the impact going to be of those moves? Zach, Patrick, and myself, we talk about that on today's episode of the show. Zach, Patrick, how you doing? A lot of storylines coming out of Broncos camp yesterday. You know, they're going to practice today. Tomorrow, they get the day off, though, which is well-deserved for them, you know, especially when you ramp things up a little bit. Obviously, looking forward to more Broncos practice as well, but hopefully the Broncos can get through some of the stuff early on without injuries. So with that said, how are you doing today, Zach? And then we'll go with you, Patrick. Then we're going to dive into the action.
Man, I'm doing great. Well, I was doing great until the injuries. I mean, that's definitely a damper on the day. But, you know, still good to see football coming back. We keep getting closer and closer. Just, I think, 3.5 weeks away from that Titans game now and 3 weeks away from the start of NFL football. So that's fantastic. I just can't wait to get this stuff back.
I can't wait for the Jarrell Casey revenge tour in about 3.5 weeks. It's going to be a great time to be a Broncos fan. It's going to be a great time to be an NFL fan. Football's back. It's a happy feeling.
Happy feeling indeed. But that was not the theme for Broncos camp yesterday, folks, because the Broncos, they sustained some injuries. And let's talk about the most significant one that we know of right now. And Broncos inside linebacker Todd Davis, he went down yesterday in practice with what appeared to be a leg injury. Come to find out, it has to do with his calf. And we go back to last year in training camp, almost kind of the same thing. Todd Davis going through camp, and he suffered a partial tear in his calf. We obviously saw how long it took him to come back. I mean, the Broncos missed him during that first four-week stretch. He came back against Jacksonville in that week four game, but it was much better for the Broncos overall from that point forward when he got inserted in the starting lineup. Because the other guys behind him, and I believe the start of the season at week one was Josie Jewell and Corey Nelson, and those guys struggled. And so when Todd Davis came in, and obviously Alexander Johnson got the start week five, things got better, but now Todd Davis, he's expected to miss some time here. Now, Brandon Cristal of KOA Radio and also appears regularly on Broncos Country Night with our good friends Benjamin Albright, Ryan Edwards, had said that an NFL source confirmed to him that the MRI coming back on Todd Davis was indeed a calf strain, which is not as severe as the last calf injury that he sustained. So a little bit of a breath of fresh air there, but he's still obviously going to miss some time. So obviously, let's take a look at how we can view this from the Broncos' perspective. We look at guys like Justin Sturdivant, Josh Watson. We even look at Josie Jewell. What can these players now do with the opportunity of getting more first-team reps now that Davis is out? And obviously, Davis will take it over once he comes back. But who do you think is going to benefit the most out of those three linebackers? We'll start with you, Patrick, then we'll go with you, Zach.
Well, I think, you know, looking at how this injury is going to affect in the short term, it's going to be great for Justin Sturdivant to get those reps. You know, Josie Jewell proved, you know, somewhat that he could play in Fangio's system last year. I know there's still issues with him in coverage, and he's kind of gotten burned in practice a couple of times. But these are going to be huge reps for the rookie because we need him to get those reps. We need him to be able to contribute early on in the season in more than a special teams role. We've talked about that before where it's like, what kind of role is he going to have going forward? Is he going to play that sub-linebacker role? Is he going to play, you know, strictly a special teams role? But with Davis being out, it gives him and Alexander Johnson an opportunity to work side by side with each other. It also gives an opportunity for Josh Watson to prove that he belongs on this roster. I know he's one of the guys that we've kind of talked about in the past that is really on that bubble, competing for a spot with Josie Jewell, competing for a spot with Joe Jones. So this is an opportunity for Watson to say, hey, I can play too. I deserve a spot on this roster. These next couple weeks are going to be huge without Davis, because it's really going to start to weed out which one of these linebackers fits best within the scheme and which one of these linebackers will produce most on special teams as well.
Yeah, you know, I think as far as who's benefiting from this the most, it's Justin Sternad. He's going to get more reps as a result. That's going to speed up his development. It's going to lead to him getting on the field sooner, him having a bigger role in the 2020 season. And so I think all of that is beneficial to him and honestly beneficial to the Broncos defense, because I'm a huge Justin Sternad fan. That said, I think who's going to fill that Todd Davis role? Probably going to be Josie Jewell to start. And then as things wear on, I think we're going to see Justin Sternad folded more and more into the mix, just because Sternad's a better player than Josie Jewell. When I was at camp, he stood out to me more than Jewell did. I think he's at least got a higher ceiling than Jewell. Maybe Jewell's better right now, but I don't think Sternad's far behind him. And I think once you get Sternad more reps, remember, Jewell's already been in Fangio's system for a year. He's been in the NFL 3 seasons. Sternad's been in Fangio's system, really playing with it in person for a few days now. And, you know, been in the NFL for the same amount of time. Once you get him caught up to speed, which won't take long considering the tape dog he is, I think he's going to be a monster in that role. And I want to see more of him. I think you can shift Alexander Johnson maybe more into that Mike role, because he is a total run stuffer. And then you can, you know, have Justin Sternad in that more natural Will role. Also think it helps out Joe Jones, who should get a shot at being an actual linebacker on the defensive end. He's a great special teams player. Give him a shot on defense before you give Josh Watson a shot.
I like those suggestions too. And here's something that Vic Fangio mentioned earlier this week. He talked about the fact that they got to bring Justin Sternad along a lot quicker, right? Because of the offseason that has been granted overall to NFL players, they got to get him a little bit more acclimated. I think that Sternad is in a great position, as we've done interviews with his position coach, Lyle Hemphill at Wake Forest. He's the type of player that can learn a scheme quickly. He invests everything in learning the defense and then carrying out. He had a stick on Levante Bellamy yesterday, according to media reports. So obviously you'd like to see that there. And I always felt like, too, and Vic Fangio said this as well. This was an interesting note from his press conference 2 days ago. He said, when you look at the offseason, when you look overall at no preseason games, he says the position that he believes is going to suffer the most through the first part of the season is probably the inside linebacker position, because of the fact that just the dynamic is a little different. The front seven could get there. Their looks are a lot harder because they're not getting the looks necessarily that they'd normally get with a preseason. So I'm really eager to see how they maneuver that. So that's something to keep an eye on there. And, you know, obviously as well too, you know, taking a look at just what Joe Jones has done as a special teams player for the Broncos, you have to give him a chance. The Broncos really like him. He's a high character guy. He's a special teams captain, and he did impress in some of the action that he got in last season. Now, I do think Josie Jewell, the Broncos fans, and I think a lot of NFL fans in general, like you mentioned, Zach, it is going to be Josie Jewell's 3rd year in the National Football League. The biggest thing that you have to take into consideration here is that you can't give up on players too quickly, right? And when I look at Jewell's 2nd year last year, it was plagued by injuries. And due to that, he didn't see himself on the field. Other guys emerged. And that's the unfortunate nature of the NFL business. So I do hope that fans start to consider that it could take some time. I wouldn't give up after, you know, on a player after 3 years. I know it's the same kind of conversation right now with Royce Freeman. Curtis Mockins believes the Broncos could have a very, very strong 1, 2, and 3 punch with those three running backs. But Broncos, we're going to continue talking about some of the injuries that the Broncos have sustained in yesterday's practice. Obviously, they're going to be practicing today. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys to check out the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And they are back, and they are better than ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before. There is now 18 amazing new flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors as well. Previously, we had 12 original flavors. Now they have 6 new flavors. And my personal favorite is the caramel brownie. You know what? The cookies and cream is also pretty good as well. I'd recommend you try that. But if you want to go with old reliable peanut butter brownie, and toffee almond are my go-tos as well. And the really good thing about it is that it doesn't taste like those other protein bars that have the stale taste. It actually tastes like a candy bar. And the bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're fluffier than ever. And Built Bar is also great for those of you who are health conscious like me. I'm I'm constantly taking a look at my macros and making sure I'm putting the right stuff in my body. But you know what? Sometimes I love having a delicious treat, and Built Bar allows me to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat as well, because the bars, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein. Yes, that's the key word, and high fiber. It's great for any kind of diet. And if you want an example of that, the peanut butter brownie Built Bar has 19 grams of protein. That's a lot. 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. And I want you to get your hands on a box of Built Bar here today. And you also can receive a free cooler with a purchase. And this is only while supplies last, but I want you to go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. I have 7 pairs of Lockdown Broncos socks remaining, and the first 7 people to send me a picture with them holding a brand new box of Built Bar that they received in the mail, I will send you a free pair of Lockdown Broncos socks. So once again, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order. All right, ladies and gentlemen, hope your Friday is going all across Broncos country here on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, our good friends over there at Spotify. Make sure that you are locked in and locked on to Lockdown Broncos every single day, Monday through Friday. We have an episode for you with exclusive Denver Broncos content and analysis and coverage that you can't get anywhere else. We bring the football side of things, the X's and O's, here on Lockdown Broncos. But continue our conversation we had previously on today's show. The Broncos were bit by the injury bug in yesterday's practice. We talked about the loss potentially of Todd Davis, which players can step up. But the next biggest one that I say warrants some concern, gentlemen, KJ Hamler. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio said that KJ Hamler is going to be out for at least 2 weeks here with a hamstring injury. And I want to go back, and I want to go back to the NFL scouting combine. What prohibited him from running is he sustained a hamstring injury right before his training, right before going on and being able to go to the combine and do everything. So he didn't get a run at the combine. That, to me, has become a little bit of a concern, because as an athlete, I know exactly what it's like, how hamstrings are very, very tricky, because you can rest, rehab, recover, and do all this stuff for 2 weeks, and that's going to be his timeline. You can come back and literally just the one wrong plant and you can pull it once again. So how worried should all of us, just as media members, how worried should Broncos fans be about this potential lingering issue for KJ Hamler? Because the hamstring seems to be an issue for him. And, you know, I think it's also be expected for a guy who's as fast as he is. What are your thoughts on this, Patrick and Zach?
You stole the words right out of my mouth. This is a big concern, especially given the, you know, pre-combine injury that was to the hamstring. It prevented him from running. That's a bit of a worry, you know. And speaking from my own experience with pulling a hamstring, it definitely takes a lot more than 2 weeks, and it takes a lot of rehab. It takes a lot of, you know, strengthening and everything like that. So this is a big concern going forward. You know, is he going to be able to continuously stay healthy and keep that hamstring right? You know, obviously the Broncos have a lot of different receivers that they're looking at, you know, and a lot of different guys fighting for spots. And with Hamler out, it's going to be huge for those guys to step up and take those reps, like Deshaun Hamilton and Tyree Cleveland and, you know, guys like Fred Brown who are fighting for a roster spot. But with Hamler being out and Hamler being injured, you really have to think about, like, is this going to be a long-term thing? Is this going to be something that's going to come up in the middle of a season or late in a season when he's, you know, if he does become that wide receiver three or that main slot guy, is this going to, you know, inhibit him from being able to be on the field? So it's definitely a concern for me going forward.
Yeah, I think this is now the biggest concern with KJ Hamler. You know, a hamstring tweak is something that can nag you throughout a whole season and multiple seasons, and it's one that can hang around for a while. I think one positive, or a couple positive notes on this, is one, the Broncos don't need him. Yes, he was a second round pick. Yes, we're all excited to see that element of speed he's going to bring to the offense. But they can bring him back slowly. Like, there's no rut. You don't need KJ Hamler for week one. He's going to be either the number 4 or the number 5 wide receiver in this offense. It's more important we take care of his hamstring, make sure he gets healthy, rather than rush him back onto the field. And also, the Broncos are in the position where they have the luxury. They don't have to rush him back. So I think that's one positive. The other positive, KJ Hamler didn't miss a game during his time at Penn State. This isn't an injury-prone player. You have to be worried about it because he is a slider guy. But that said, it seems like this is a hamstring that's just been bugging him during this offseason process. I'm sure he was resting it, you know, some so he can get healthy, but to a minimal extent, because he's, hey, the draft's going to determine your income for the next 4 years. You want to improve that slot as much as you can. I'm sure he was working his butt off to make that happen. And, you know, also working his butt off to get ready for training camp as well. We saw all the hype videos. So I think now the Broncos, they've got him in the building. Let's just bring him back slowly. You got Tyree Cleveland, you got Deshaun Hamilton, you got Tim Patrick, you got Fred Brown, you got Deontay. If you really need that speed element, you got Deontay Spencer. Let's just bring KJ Hamler along slowly and make sure he's healthy, make sure he's right for the future.
It's a great thing to have all these options, and I think the Broncos are in a pretty good position, even though, as you mentioned, his status as a second-round pick is something that's going to be very, very high. But I think all those options that you mentioned, we've seen a lot of traction coming out of Broncos camp with Tyree Cleveland, Tim Patrick. Those guys have stepped up. Deshaun Hamilton has had a quietly very good camp. You know, he did have a day a couple days ago where Zach was there, where Michael Ejimudia kind of put the clamps on him a little bit. But outside of that, he's been finding ways to get open. And the Broncos, look, with Jerry Jeudy, I think is going to create a different kind of scenario in and of itself alongside with Courtland Sutton, as we've seen so far in camp. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But also another injury too is Von Miller was pulled out of practice yesterday with an elbow deal. He's going to get it tested, according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. But it happened on play. I mean, it was nothing noticeable. And then all of a sudden, they just substituted in Malik Reed. So those guys getting some more opportunities there to work at the outside backer position. And hopefully this isn't something that's bad. I mean, I think if it were a serious injury, we'd probably already hear media reports about it by now. We'd probably hear something. So good news there on that front. They're probably going to take it easy. I would not suspect that he's probably going to practice tomorrow. He might be off on the side working with the trainers or doing something like maybe a position specific drill. But yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about Vaughn's injury. Same thing with Melvin Gordon. He's got a rib issue right now. Nothing being widely reported about being serious, but obviously, you know, it's something you have to monitor as the Broncos continue practice today. And then tomorrow on Saturday, they are off, and rightfully so. They've earned it. They've been working their tail off as well. But Broncos country coming up here in just a moment. Zach Patrick and I, we're going to talk about some of the storylines outside of the injury bug yesterday that appeared in Broncos camp. Drew Lock to Jerry Jeudy. It was sharp. It was beautiful. And we're going to talk about that coming up here just a moment. But before we do that, I got to remind you guys to check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast hosted by Adam Mattes and Matt Moore. The Nuggets look to rebound after dropping game two to the Utah Jazz in the NBA playoffs. Can their weak side defense figure it out? Can they get some momentum going offensively, specifically without some of their key players? The Nuggets have had to try to find their identity. And Matt Moore and Adam Mattes do a great job of bringing you the X's and O's, the pick and rolls of all the action. So check out Locked On Nuggets here today. Getting back to our conversation on today's episode, Locked On Broncos on this beautiful Friday. I just wanted to give a shout out to a listener of the show and also a Twitter user at Dominic C. Now, there was a clip. I retweeted it on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. Drew Lock throwing an absolute dime to Jerry Jeudy. High to the outside where the red line is. It's usually where the DB can't squeeze your cushion. And it was a touchdown. And it was beautiful. Bryce Callahan was in coverage there. And at Dominic C on Twitter says, I thought that there was a coin shortage. Drew Lock is tossing dimes. And that's really been the theme. Like that throw, that back shoulder throw, the goal line fade, that's been a throw for Drew Lock so far throughout this camp that's been really nice. And if we go back historically, Albert Okwuegbunam loves the goal line fade. Noah Fant could be the goal line fade guy. Courtland Sutton, most definitely. And then you got those other guys that can run those inside routes or the break and out routes to create things up. So I think the Broncos red zone offense, I know it's taking shape. I know the Broncos defense, especially with the first team D going against the first team O, was giving them a little bit of a trouble early on. But overall in Broncos camp, the wide receivers are standing out. So take a look at this. Devontae Harris returned back to practice. Same thing with Bradley Chubb. Noah Fant was back out there as well. So the Broncos were getting some things going there, getting those guys back overall. Really, I think the one thing that stands out is Albert Okwuegbunam continues to make some small headlines. Not really the talk of training camp so far, but he has been the talk of some of the sessions there because he's been a consistent red zone threat, because we've talked about it here on the podcast. That's where we believe the Broncos are going to utilize him. So he's been seeing a lot of action. Jeff Driscoll was able to connect with him in the end zone several times. And so he's having a really nice rookie training camp to start. So, you know, really your thoughts early on here with Albert Okwuegbunam, gentlemen.
This was a guy that I was going to bring up in a show that we did earlier this week. But, man, he has been impressive. The fact, the highlight that I saw, the catch that he had over Josie Jewell in team drills was probably one of the better catches that I've seen in all of camp. The fact that he went up, plucked it over the linebacker, I mean, this is extremely impressive. This was a guy who a lot of people are like, why did they take another tight end? You know, especially where they took him. But this is the exact reason why. You cannot have too many red zone threats on your team. And we look back, I know we've talked about this before, but when you go back and you look at what New England did with two really, really good tight ends in Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, they were able to do things in the red zone that no other team could do. And if we have Albert Ocho Cinco, who that's going to be his new nickname going forward, you have him, you have Fant, you have Sutton, you have Judy as all serious red zone threats, it's over. Game over. I mean, you can throw a fade to Albert O, you could throw a fade to Cortland Sutton, you could throw a whip route to Judy, you could throw the seam to Fan. It doesn't matter. Pick your poison. Go ahead. But Albert O has been so impressive lately that I think my earlier prediction of what it was like, it was 200 yards and 8 touchdowns or something like that. Yeah, I think that's probably what we're going to be seeing from him, because he's going to get a lot of those inside the 20 catches from Drew Lock.
Patrick's dead on. He's going to be a red zone monster. And he's looking so good in that area. I think the one thing, and also just the pick your poison points dead on, especially because you've also got Melvin Gordon in the backfield, who is one of the best goal line running backs. You've got four lethal passing weapons and then Melvin Gordon in the backfield if you commit too much back there. That said, the one negative note I'd have on Albert Okwuegbunam is we've heard Fangio, I believe it was, maybe it was Munch, but I'm pretty sure it was Fangio, taking him to task a little bit for his blocking. And that is a concern down in the red zone. You need to be a good blocker to be down there. And it will limit them. You don't want him to be a tell on the field. Albert Okwuegbunam's out there. All right, they're passing it. Okay, Nick Vinette's out there. They're running it. Yeah, so that's my one concern there. But everything we've seen out of him as a pass catcher so far is, I think, ahead of expectations. It's really, really great. As far as for Locke threading the needle and finding him for absolute dimes, I thought the one against Bryce Callahan was perfect. What impressed me, I think that's perfect for Drew Locke, and it just shows where he can get to if he works on those fundamentals and really gets his release down, because he can drop it right in the bucket when he has that motion down and his footwork down and everything. The problem is getting it to be consistent. That'll happen with time. As far as Judy, the one that really impressed me was when he set up Justin Simmons deep. I wasn't there to see it in person, but I saw the tweet about it. Justin Simmons, maybe his greatest strength is how high and his football IQ is and how instinctive of a safety he is. And for Jerry Judy, a rookie that's never played in an NFL game, to be setting him up with like dead legs and with his off-tempo stuff, that really, really impresses me. That it's going to be a monster for secondaries all year long.
Now, you bring up a great point, man. We've talked about this before. Jerry Judy coming into the league this year, he's already as polished of a route runner as most of these guys are, you know, most of these veterans are in the NFL. His release off the line, his use of the dead, I mean, these are all things that as a receiver, I drool over. So, you know, looking at how he runs his routes and how not just how he uses the lower half, but also he'll set up DBs with the head and the shoulder turn and just stop on a dime and go back the other way. It's fantastic to see from a rookie come in with so much talent as a route runner, with expert footwork, with physicality within his route. Like, these are all things that we love to see. You know, we got to see some video of him having to make contested catches, which is something that he didn't really have to do at Alabama because he was getting 5-10 yards of separation in his route. And the fact that he can make contested catches is a great sign too, because it shows that he doesn't just have to be open to be able to catch the ball. He is a complete receiver, and the Broncos hit a home run with this draft pick. It's going to be great to watch him and Sutton work for the next however long they're together.
I'm excited about that. I think that that's a great point too. And as we talk about just really where Jerry Judy has been at, and there was a tweet put out by Tyrann Mathieu of the Kansas City Chiefs, because Kareem Jackson had given some praise about just really how good of a route runner is on in-breaking routes, out-breaking routes. Tyrann Mathieu sent out a tweet like, okay, I'm taking notes, looking forward to the opportunity. I just want to see Jerry Jeudy break off Tyrann Mathieu. That's the one thing I want to see. So I've got that bookmarked. I've got that saved overall, just to be able to see that as well. But also another story coming out of Broncos camp. The secondary continues to impress. Bryce Callahan's had some really impressive days. A lot of pass breakups. Devontae Bosby once again had a very impressive day for the Broncos overall. Had an interception, deflection. AJ Boye too. And Zach, you had talked about this on today's article over there, profootballnetwork.com/Broncos. Shameless plug there. But that was in the notes as well from what you saw with Boye in terms of his pass breakup ability, intercepting, and being able to just read routes. The route concepts, being able to jump it in Fangio's defense, it certainly helps when you got pressure from guys like Shelby Harris. Jarrell Casey, who's been absolutely eating so far, according to media reports. So we're very excited about that Broncos country. As soon as we have an episode coming up here on Monday, that means we're going to be 3 weeks away from Broncos training camp. And as always, you can expect Zach, Patrick, and myself here, Locked On Broncos, all season long, especially after the games. Looking forward to breaking it down with you, the listeners of Locked On Broncos, you, the fans in Broncos country, because this show is all for you. And so with that said, I'm Cody York, your host as always. Hope you have an amazing weekend. Stay safe, make smart choices, and also buy yourself a box of Built Bar. Use promo code Locked On for $10 off at checkout for your first box. And if you send me a picture and you're one of the first seven that do it, I will send you a free pair of Locked On Broncos socks. So it's a great deal, ladies and gentlemen. With that said, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Appreciate you guys. Cody Rourke here, speaking for Zach and Patrick. We'll see you on Monday.